Hey there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our series through the book of Galatians. This week we are in the last chapter, Galatians 6, looking at the first five verses. Paul has finally made his ultimate point in showing what freedom in Christ looks like, what a spirit-led life looks like, and how that is superior to the law. In today's passage and in the rest of the conclusion of this letter, he gives some really practical ways in which we live out this freedom, moving from just theological concepts now to really some practical application. So let's read in chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Now, he starts off saying if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, this idea of being overtaken has this idea of falling in the original word. So it's not the sinful acts that we saw in the list of the works of the flesh in the sense of that lack of repentance and not wanting it, but for someone who has professed their true faith in Christ, but they have fallen into a trap, a habit that has just led them away from the wrong path, right? The instruction here is that those who are spiritual to restore this person, right? We don't ignore it. We don't just let it go. We don't shame them. We don't, drag them out for it. But the goal is always restoration in this. And we do so with a gentle spirit. As we talked about gentleness last week, this idea of recognizing that I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, and we both have the struggle of the sin, the flesh, against the spirit. And Paul points that out in the next phrase. He says, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted, right? Reminding them that it's not a superiority, it's not a lording over, but it's a recognition of this is the human experience, and we have a real fight to do. And then he puts out there that this fight is not something we do alone. He says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the word picture of burdens here is this idea of a heavy load, something that is so massive that it cannot be carried by one person alone. And so that's why we need the support. We need the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ to take these burdens, take these difficulties that we have, the struggles with sin, and not just try and fight those alone, but in love and in patience and in gentleness, being able to help one another through those times and those difficulties. And then he says, in fulfilling the law of Christ, he's calling back to Jesus's words in John 13, 34, 35, where he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Again, everything is coded in love. We've seen it at the beginning of the description of the fruit of the Spirit. We saw it that we have our faith in love, through love, that we serve one another through love, right? So this love law of Christ is an important and again, very daily applicable approach to how we treat one another. And then again, Paul gives some warning. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Pride is always the blinding sin that keeps us from seeing the problems that we have. And so when we're too busy looking at other people and comparing ourselves to other people, we miss out on seeing what it is that we're dealing with. And so that's why Paul is given the instruction of examine your own work, right? As we are carrying others' burdens, we're not judging them, but we're considering, okay, so what in my life am I really working towards, and what am I struggling with, and how that is not a level of, well, I've done this good thing and that good thing, but instead to see that we're all on the same playing field, and ultimately, as Paul goes on, he says not to compare himself with someone else, and then gives this statement of each person will have to carry his own load. Now, it seems contradictory because he just said we're going to bear each other's burdens, right? We're going to help each other with their load, but then each man has to carry his own load. But it's a different word that he uses here. So this idea, this burden, this load is more like a backpack, something that someone would have taken with them on a journey. And so when, as he's saying, for each person will have to carry his own load, this is pointing towards the final day of judgment, where each person will come before Christ and his life will be judged. Now, as Christians, we know we're seen with the righteousness of Christ, but we also know that our works that we have done in Christ's name or not will also be judged. And those things that are worthwhile, we will be rewarded for, and those things that weren't will be swept away in the fire. So Paul is reminding them that life on this earth is not meant to be lived alone, right? We carry one another's burdens. The gift of the church is such an important thing for the life of the Christian, that we don't live isolated. We don't just struggle through. We don't just push and try to make everything happen for ourselves, which again, that legalistic tendency it sometimes comes out of that approach. But it's also always others oriented, right? So these statements of carrying others' burdens is not to benefit myself, but instead, or to seek out, hey, someone needs to carry this for me. But it's always looking for, okay, who can I help carry burdens for, right? We do get the blessing of people coming alongside us, but if our goal and our intent in the church is to show up and have people just fix all of our problems, that's not the right heart attitude here, which is the comparison of examining our own work. And so as we fight pride, as we fight potentially shame, or just feeling like I don't want people to know what's really going on in my life, we have to know that the church is the place where restoration happens. That's how we started this passage off, and where truly the love of God is carried out in the daily life of the believer. And so it's not just about the Sunday morning gathering. It's not just about a small group, but it's really this life that we walk through together, that we don't have to carry things by ourselves. So as we consider what Paul is asking us here, let's think about first people in our lives that we know have struggles and that we can help them with in some way or another. Doesn't big, small, doesn't matter, but any shouldering of that burden is something we can consider. And the second is considering how we can be more open and transparent in being able to allow people in and let them be burden bearers for us, that we won't be afraid of the exposure that we have, but know that just like everyone else, our lives are messy and it's okay. And it's not a handout of I need help, but it's God's design that we help one another. So keep those thoughts and those practices in mind as you go through this week.